local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Asking the question, one word to describe Kings regular season. From the 5-3-0, tumultuous. On the Sack Chat, Manny Too Legit discombobulated. Brandon Deitzman says confounding. Ward says choked. Okay.
I didn't know we had a bunch of English scholars in our Sack Chat.
Outstanding, yes. Outstanding vocab here.
Yeah, the vocab is confounding, ridiculous
right now. Yes, IQ is, that's what we do. We know ball.
UC Davis graduates.
That's right. Huh? That's right. Yeah, and Beamer, Beams, or Beamly, that's fair. They say it's TBD right now. Yeah, I got to wait. I mean, to me, yeah, we will have.
We can just say regular season.
I've been saying regular season specifically.
Yeah.
Because that's what led to the ninth seed.
Everyone always, like with a movie, everyone always remembers what happens at the end. Like, coming out of a movie, if it's a happy ending, people are going to be happy or whatever, mm-hmm. even if the whole movie was depressing. Mm-hmm. So coming off this month, I think a lot of people are just going to be upset right now.
Yeah,
and I think that's
rough. It was a rough month from AB916. The season, in one word, confused. One game we blow out a team, the next we get blown out.
Yeah, my word would just be inconsistent. I think that just really is, I mean, it might be too simple of a word, but just every game to game, quarter to quarter, half to half, it just felt like anything and anything was possible. With this team, they might score 120 one night. That did not mean literally 24 hours later they would have that same offensive firepower, which, you know, sometimes can be typical. But I just don't think we knew any night who was going to be the third option. We knew to an extent. I mean, you know, Sabonis, of course, was incredibly consistent with the double-doubles. De'Aaron, even to an extent, had a bit of inconsistency. The first stretch of the season where he was averaging 30 and shooting 40% from three, and then the rest of the season is somewhere near 24 points per game and then near 33%, 34% from three. Keegan Murray, like, you know, his offense was inconsistent. Even his defense, like, it felt like has anybody talked about Keegan Murray's defense since Keon Ellis stepped on the scene?
No.
I don't think so. And you know, I'm not saying Keegan has just stopped playing defense, but if it was really so good, it would just be additive to what's going on, and it feels like it's just taken a complete back seat. So I think everybody, with the exception of really Domantas Sabonis, inconsistent to me feels like the word I would use to describe everything that's gone on, and that's definitely not a characteristic of a winning team.
I think a big thing, too, is you can't even say this team would play to their competition. That's kind of a cliche you hear a lot in sports. And it's even said about the Kings this year, but they would, like you said, one night come out super hot and let's just say, like, beat a team like OKC, maybe beat them handily, and then blow it against the Bulls or something. Like, blow it.
Yeah.
Totally. And I know the first, two-thirds of the season, all we were talking about, you guys were talking about, was they can't handle a second night of the back-to-back. They broke that curse, and it's just, I think inconsistent is the only way, or synonyms for that word, are the only way to describe this team.
My word.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
A little different. My word would be puberty.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know.
Family show.
When you're going through puberty, there are growing pains.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, you get a little bit of acne, right? They're not the best pictures that are taken sometimes, but you get through puberty and you look better.
You become a man.
You become an adult. And that is what I think we're hopefully seeing with the Kings. Hopefully this is their tweener year.
Definitely some voice cracks.
They got voice cracks.
A lot of voice cracks.
Braces. Pimples.
So this is like middle school. Last year was elementary school. They're wrapping up sixth grade.
Right.
They're in middle school now. The hardest part for me, middle school was rough. And then you get into high school and best years of your life.
The braces come off.
Yeah.
A little taller.
Yeah, I guess,
Gotta bring up height.
Gotta do it. That's what I'm thinking.
I think so. I mean, that kind of fits in with your early call of a cocoon season, right? That was mm-hmm. more for Keegan specifically, but
that's right.
You know, a bit of maturing. Maturing would hopefully be next year, but this year is the going through it. I think all these are totally fine. All of them have a negative connotation, I think, which is also very telling with how the season has gone. I think puberty is fine. Don't cut that. I think that's a good one.
From the 209, exasperated.
Yeah.
From the 916, regressed. From the 209, gaslit.
Yes. Yeah.
Gaslit into what? Like believing they're good or believing they're bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say yes. Last year would have been gaslit. Like, well, I guess year is the feeling of being gaslit. Yeah.
From the 916, Styles and Watkins. Kings are going to spank that warrior behind. Keep the faith. Light the beam from Patrick.
There we go.
Patrick.
There we go, Patrick. Thank you for steering it back.
Mm-hmm. Puberty.
Yeah. Puberty. Yeah.
Spank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there is like a positive word that, because again, like even inconsistent definitely leads to some good, but also a lot of bad. Puberty. I don't think anybody's going to go around saying, you know, it was actually the best time of my life. You know, it was actually great.
11 to 13.
Yeah.
13 was sick. I had everything figured out mm-hmm. at that point in my life, and it's just been downhill from then.
I peaked during puberty.
I
peaked as a 12-year-old. It's been all downhill from here. Also, don't cut that.
I was the fastest runner in my class.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Growing maybe, you know, like... But even that, again, if that feels too positive, roller coaster. I think that goes with the inconsistent
916
for sure.
Roller coaster.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it positive. I really don't know how you could. You have to. I think the bigger point is too. You have to acknowledge the bad. There is no like. I mean, even forget the 10 game losing. Like it almost feels like, of course, yeah, the 10 game losing streak. Like Nate said. The thing that you are most recently going through is going to be the thing that sticks out. But if we just want to do the first 70 games or the first 72 games, I still think inconsistent is the word. I think growing, trying to find yourself, searching. Maybe searching is it, because Mike Brown was searching all year on the bench of who's going to be that guy, trying to figure out who's going to be that reliable third option. It was supposed to be Keegan, ended up kind of being Malik. None of them. I don't really like any of these positive words because I think it's not doing the, it's painting it too positively. And I think everybody, even Mike Brown wouldn't admit when Whitey asked him on Sunday, like, is the play-in an accomplishment? He's like, anytime you play after game 82, it's an accomplishment, but obviously this is not the situation you want to be in. So it feels disingenuous to do anything besides have something that acknowledges this has not gone the way it was supposed to go.
Yeah, and a lot of the words that have been coming in, you just can't say growth because you're not going to convince anybody. And I know the difference between last season and this season with the other teams being better and the West being a mess, but you're just not going to get away with calling it growth.
Yeah, as much as Mike Brown keeps trying to tell us.
Right.
Experience. Exactly. Valuable experience.
Well, because that's the thing, right? De'Aaron is not shooting the three ball the same way he was at the beginning of the season. So I don't know if we're counting that. What part, where was the growth? Because I got Keegan defensively and a little bit offensively outside of three-point shooting.
Yeah.
And I got Keon.
Yeah. I would.
And I guess Sabonis.
I guess the growth is just through going through it, but you just haven't. Growth still wouldn't be the right word because you haven't done the growing yet. Mm-hmm. You're going through the process of building, but you're not, you can't really say that you can tangibly see the results of the growth. You can't, you know, like you feel growing pains, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it, growing pains, but you haven't seen the 5'6" to 6-foot growth yet, but you feel it coming and you're definitely getting the bad sides of it, but you just don't get to see it on paper quite yet. Maybe that works, growing pains, but, you know, that all of that ties into there better be a rainbow on the other side. If you're going to say you're growing, you have to be growing into something. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's tough to say that when a lot of people, I think, have concern that who are we growing? Are we going in a positive direction still? Because a lot of people feel like this is a big step back. And if Malik leaves, how can you say that this season led us into something better?
Then you can't count Malik. That's why I'm not counting Malik, by the way, when we talk about the growth, because I don't know if he's going to be on the team next season.
Right, exactly.
We're talking about going into next season. 831 says, I would say foundational. This season showed what needs to be done to improve this roster.
I don't hate it. I would probably say last year was more foundational and you could have built upon it this year and chose not to. I have used that word, though, also. I just think that it's more building on the foundation and maybe foundation testing. Mm-hmm. How about that? Because I do think this year was more about, okay, last year you built something. Is it shaky? Is it sustainable? Is it something we can build on? Should we, the left side looks a little weak. Maybe we should redo that. Maybe foundation testing. Because I do think this year they had an opportunity to improve both off the floor with the additions, but also, I mean, just tangibly, the amount of games that they lost that they felt like we had the opponent wrapped up and then they just kind of let go. That's where it's like, I don't know if the foundation was continued. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think that it foundation's close, though. Foundation is close.
From Gilbert Hernandez, underwhelming is the word, which I think you could probably roll with that one as well. When we return, making fun of the Lakers and their delusion, how confident are you in the Kings? And Steven, we see you. We will get to you in a quick minute. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Any realistic chance we make the 8 seed? Yes, 916.
Yes,
of course.
There very is a realistic chance.
Realistic chance. You beat the Warriors, and then, I mean, look, if you play roulette, Black going to hit 6 times in a row for the Pelicans? I mean, you got to beat them once.
At least once.
At least once.
Come on, you had a sign of life.
Black going to hit 6 times or Red going to hit 6 times in a row.
You've beaten the Lakers a good handful of times.
Right, the Lakers, it's the opposite of the Lakers.
Sure.
But that's only 4.
Yes, exactly. Right. Well, we just saw hit 5.
When we just saw 5.
When
happen.
There's only 3 black spaces on the roulette table you're using, it's a little bit harder.
I'm telling you. There's obviously a chance.
There's definitely a chance.
What do you think? Well, yeah, because that's the thing. This isn't even the toughest test for the Kings. I know there's demons to be exercised, but obviously going back to New Orleans, the House of Horror, that would be the toughest test.
Yeah, I would say so, especially for this team specifically this year. Maybe organizationally or mentally, Golden State's a really, really big test. But in terms of what you have dealt with this season, New Orleans has been the boogeyman that's there at every single turn. They kicked you out of the in-season tournament. They've kicked your behind every single time before that. They just kicked your behind with an opportunity for you to maybe salvage the last playoff spot. They kicked you then. They've kicked you all season, and now would be a great time for when it really does matter. Ultimately, you can throw out all 5 of those matchups because this is the only one of those that actually matters. If you can get it done in that one, that's really the ultimate mental hurdle to get over. And if you get over that, why can't you convince yourself? I mean, all season long, granted, with Malik Monk, we were talking about how OKC and Minnesota are the 2 matchups that you're going to want to line up with if you're the Kings. That's still very, very true. I still think that the Kings have a chance to – now, of course, if Malik doesn't play, those chances are hurt severely, but you still have a chance to play upset, and you're feeling real good about yourself if you can make it through that gauntlet.
By the way, practice is – the media availability is happening right now, so a bunch of clips are coming out. Mike Brown says there is no chance that Malik Monk plays tomorrow.
Yes,
none.
Yeah.
That's 0.
Chris Biederman and Sean Cunningham, I see both saying, yeah, Mike Brown said, quote, zero chance Malik Monk plays tomorrow. So
quit asking.
Yeah. On YouTube right now, the full interview's up, too, if you want to take a look.
Is it really? Beautiful. Yeah, look at our guys. I think Frankie and Brendan out there.
Here you go, Chris. Here's the Bay Area spin. No 10 seed in the history of the play-in has ever made it to the playoffs. That means no team has come from where the Warriors are right now and even gotten into the playoffs.
Wow. And for what it's worth, the Warriors, I know we say, you know, the Warriors, oh, how scary. You get them in a one-game playoff. No one wants to see them. They're 0-2 in the play-in. Granted, it was in the same season. It was in the, I think it was 2020
season. There was no Clay.
There was no Clay in that season for them. But they were the 9 seed, I believe, 8 or 9 seed, and they lost to the Lakers, and then I believe they lost to the Grizzlies was the second game that they lost. So the Warriors, even though they've been in the play-in before, they do have that experience at the very least. They didn't make it out of it. So, you know, it might seem insurmountable, but they've met opponents before that in a one-game, gotta-have-it situation, beat them, and they lost twice in that situation. So it's not impossible. It doesn't seem likely, but it's not impossible.
916-339-1140, all guests and callers. Join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get to our guy, Steven. Wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Good afternoon, boys. How you guys doing, man? Hope you guys had a good weekend.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. This game, man, I am juiced. I am excited for this game. I've been super critical on Mike as far as Mike Brown, as far as like rotations and stuff like that. But like you guys were saying, man, this is it. You know what I'm saying? This is it, folks. One and done, man. So with that being said, man, it's been a really fun season with you guys so far, man. And I've really enjoyed my time with you guys and you letting me just on the air, letting all of us just on the air, just kind of airing out our grievances, man. And no matter how this thing ends tomorrow, man, couldn't have done it without you guys, man. So really appreciate y'all, man. Let's get this dub, dude. Let's send these dubs back home to San Francisco. Let's light the beam. Let's hit the sleepy time all over Curry, man. It's about time we put him to bed. So you guys have a good day, man. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Steven. No, that would be funny. I don't think there's anybody on the team that would do it. But if somebody did the night-night.
Malik might off the bench.
Yeah?
He might off the bench. He would be the only one, though. He would be the only one who's, like, got the gusto to do it. I don't think, like, I mean, De'Aaron's not doing it. How could Sabonis get back? I want Sabonis to do something to Draymond, man.
Sabonis
get back at Draymond.
Won't do anything.
Do like the stomp flail
he's just
or something.
Stomping
like
on
that.
The floor. Yeah. That would be awesome.
He just takes his shoe off and throws it at Draymond.
Or like Mason Jones lays down and Sabonis like pretends to
Mason
stomp
Jones
on him.
Would do something. Yeah. Mason Jones would definitely do something. I could see De'Aaron. The problem is it's a 9-10, right? So that's the reason I don't think it would get crazy.
Right.
Also, it's his business partner.
But that's why I think he could, if it wasn't a 9-10 and it was an actual playoff series,
right.
I could see De'Aaron doing the night-night. But he's not going to do that in a 9-10.
Probably not. And Draymond on his pod is definitely going to, he's going to throw back. Oh, y'all do that in the play-in, but y'all didn't have that same energy in the offs. So, yeah. No, no thanks. No thanks for that. No thanks for Draymond releasing a podcast this entire
He's going to be podding in Golden 1.
Literally, yeah. From the bench.
Pre-game.
Every time he goes to the bench, he's just going to – Steve Kerr is going to pass him a mic, and he's just going to live record from the bench.
Hey, thanks to Volume for allowing us to do this live show during the game. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Dwayne. He wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Dwayne? What you got for us?
Hey, what's up, fellas? You know, I saw the last game against the Suns. And Sabonis came up soft at the end, man. So he's already in playoff mode, bro. And then you throw Kevon Looney into the mix and Draymond Green, bro. He don't have that, bro. He's a finesse guy. He shies away from contact. His numbers say something different, bro. But it's one of those weird things where you got to dig deeper. Without Monk and without Herter scoring, they're going to let De'Aaron get his, and they're just going to be all over Sabonis. So, I feel like you guys, I'm still going to go back to the point that you guys should have made some moves at the trade deadline and got some toughness like a Patrick Beverley, a P.J. Tucker, even a Dylan Brooks, bro. You know what I mean? Somebody who's going to take the hard foul and get tough because You guys aren't getting fouls. When you do get fouls, you don't make the free throws. Like, it's a mess, bro. And Sabonis, he's going to get exposed tomorrow night, bro. So I want to know what you guys think about that.
Thanks for the call, Dwayne. I mean, in my mind, I feel like the worst is over, okay? You didn't do what you were supposed to do, right? It was a really tough season. This was a season where, honestly, maybe it's not a bad season for the Kings to underperform because so many teams were so much better. Now, Monty McNair, his feet are going to be held to the fire. Mm-hmm. Win or lose tomorrow night, whenever this thing ends, he's going to have a lot of questions to answer because at best you're coming in as an 8 seed.
Sure.
So if you're trying to find the positives, I would say, hey, at least we now know we're not good enough in this new Western Conference, so we have to make some moves. Kevon Looney hasn't really been playing that much. I don't know if he's going to if Kerr's going to call on him because of how well he played, but the game has kind of passed Kevon Looney by, yeah. And really it's been Trace Jackson Davis. I'm more whether it's Kevon or Davis, I think Kevon is just going to say, hey, this is what I did against him last season. So that it doesn't matter who it is, you're going to get that same type of play, and you're going to and on the other end, Sabonis is going to have to worry about that's the bad thing. You're going to have to worry about Trace a lot more than you ever had to worry about Kevon Looney offensively.
Sure.
So I do think it's going to be tough. And, you know, as Draymond said, they're a pattern team and they want to get into their sets. I still think that ultimately Sabonis is going to get opportunities to do what he does and maybe not scoring, but passing the basketball. It's all based on whether or not these guys are going to hit shots. That's how it is.
The caller Dwayne there, I don't know how you could say Domantas Sabonis is not a physical guy. I don't know how you could say he's soft. I don't know how you could say he shies away
from
contact.
Well, he said they, so he was not a Kings fan. He said
yes,
they multiple times.
I definitely clocked that as well. And yeah, so he's definitely on the, you know, he tried to be a double agent there, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. Warrior fans can call in all they want, but, you know, Domantas Sabonis, if you want to say he doesn't show up in the playoffs, that's one thing. That does not mean he's soft.
Right.
That does not mean he shies away from
contact.
He's
limited.
He's limited, absolutely. But softness is not a question. That's almost like you're stereotyping like European players or something as just automatically being soft. Sabonis is the most physical player in the NBA, period. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of being afraid of going into those guys. It's a matter of, and there's a difference between soft and passive. I would say Sabonis is too passive. And if you want to say that soft, go ahead. I would just say he thinks too much about getting others involved and sometimes doesn't really view himself as a scoring option or as a lead scoring option. And I would say, I mean, we'll have to see how the matchup actually ends up panning out, but I don't think Sabonis should be worried at all about Trayce Jackson-Davis. I feel like he's dealt with much better centers, especially here recently. Like, yeah. It's not like Trayce Jackson-Davis is in the top 15 of centers in the NBA. And not that Kevon Looney was either. Kevon Looney absolutely dominated that matchup. But again, I just don't know if Trayce Jackson-Davis's skill set necessarily is one that's I would pick to go against Sabonis. Sabonis is going to get the ball in the post if he gets matched up with Trayce Jackson-Davis and just back him down. I don't know if Trayce Jackson-Davis can take that.
Well, he's not a small dude.
He's not small, but so he's also 6'8", and Sabonis is legit big and pushing around guys who are much bigger than Trayce Jackson-Davis.
It just always worries me when it's something I haven't seen before.
Yes, and that's totally
and
it.
And with someone who seemed to have the book in Kevon Looney.
Absolutely.
So that's what worries me. But, yeah, he has not – Sabonis hasn't seen – Trayce Jackson, and Trayce Jackson has not seen
that shoulder.
He has not seen the shoulder. Larry, hold on. We will get to you in a bit right when we get back and continue the conversation on the Kings and Warriors. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
One word to describe the Kings season. We've had a lot of more so negative words. But hey, when you find yourself in the 9 seed, I understand that it can be hard to stay positive. And how confident are you in the Kings? From the 916, Chris the Mom, don't let that interview fool you that Kuminga may not be 100%. We got to be ready for everything from Chris. Yeah, I agree. And Kuminga did play. So in theory, he's just going to feel better than he did even in that last game against the Jazz when nobody played. Will he be as good offensively? Who knows? But I think it's going to be all hands on deck. Larry's been hanging out during the break. Let's get to him right now. Larry, what you got for us?
Two or three things, guys. I think that some of the people overanalyze this season. The Kings are equal to or slightly better. Here's why. Sabonis set records more than he did a year ago. He's played like he is a tough guy, like you've been saying. He is not weak. The second thing is we've seen an improvement in Keegan this year, sort of a breakout. I think next year he's really going to go. De'Aaron's played had another very good year. We lost the sixth man of the year in the last 10 or 12 games. We would have won at least 3 more games. Wouldn't be in the play-in. We'd be in the playoffs, 7 or 8. If we would have made – here's one weakness, though. Of course, we've had Herter out also, and that's hurt. Mm-hmm. Because he's in the rotation. He would help the scoring and the energy. Even though he's not a great scorer, he's good for 10 or 12, sometimes more. But he plays pretty good defense, and that's hurt us. Monk being gone has really hurt us bad. We would have won at least 3 or 4 games more in the last 12 if we had Monk. The other thing, the final thing for me to say is this. If, and you guys can pull up the records on this, but I've kind of kept track. If we were shooting 76% in the middle of the pack on free throws this year, we would have had near 50 wins. We would be near last year's third spot in the West, maybe the fourth. We'd be right up with the Pacific Division with the Clippers if we would have just shot average free throws all year long instead of 71% being in last position. So when you look at the team as a whole, you know, we just got to make a few tweaks, improve on a few things, maybe add one more player, get Monk and Herter back, and next year we could go for it all.
Thanks for the call, Larry. A very optimistic look at this. And, hey, sometimes that's necessary. There's been a bit of pessimism today from everybody or most people that we've heard from, and we get it. It's tough. But I like the optimism, whether I agree with what necessarily needs to be done moving forward or not. I will say that, yeah, they probably lost at least 2 games because of free throws. At least 2 games because of free throws. And as far as Malik is concerned, yeah, if you don't lose Malik towards the end of the season, maybe you hold on to the 6th spot. It was starting to get hairy before he went down, so I'm not sure. But the way that the Kings have lost, I think that's really affected how people feel. It doesn't change how important Malik is, but the fact that the Kings had leads in, what, 3 of those games, or mm-hmm. both games? Well, not, I guess we won't count the Celtics game, but
right.
when you had the Knicks game, mm-hmm. and then you had what just happened multiple times. I mean, even the Mavericks,
even
I know Malik
Mavs game,
went
yeah.
down.
Right.
You had
the
a lead in
shot.
Yeah,
right.
You had a lead in that game. Right. You had a lead against the Suns, and you've mm-hmm. done that against, and I believe there's one more. Was it OKC?
OKC.
Yeah. So 4 of those games you controlled, and then you end up blowing it. Yep. That is what ticked people off. If you went out, and this might be a different conversation, but if you went out and just got blown out
right.
all these games, hey, we're missing Malik, we're missing Herter,
right.
the season's cooked. But the fact that you gave people hope. That's just going to tick
yep.
everyone off more, even if ultimately – it was what it was always going to be.
Yeah, no, hope is absolutely the thing that'll kill you 100% of the time. Just starting to believe and then getting your hopes up just to have them be crushed is really exactly what's happened. I mean, I think a lot of people were nervous once Malik went down that the ship was going to sink, but to see them kind of fight in some of these games, get big leads, especially in that OKC game, you started to convince yourself, hey, maybe we know what it is long term, but maybe we can survive just for a little bit, buy us some time. Maybe, you know, I know we got official word that Malik is not playing now, but, you know, maybe just buy Malik some time. And if you make the playoffs, hey, because here's another thing. Mike Brown said there's no chance Malik's playing today, or more than likely probably not in the second play-in game. But if the Kings would have locked down that sixth seed and Malik's first game would have been on Saturday, who knows? Maybe he still has to miss that one. Maybe he only misses one playoff
game.
Some
point during
like,
that.
Yeah, it could have just pushed down the line, and you know, maybe you don't feel as bad. So, yeah, I mean, the free throw thing is really interesting. I'm looking at it here. Middle of the pack was 70. The Lakers were 15th in the NBA at 78.2. The Kings were last at 74.5. So we're talking about a 4% difference there in free throws. That could definitely swing a lot of games. And that's something where, you know, I don't know. Is that personnel? Is that, hey, it was just a really weird year for us from the line? I don't really know how to take it, but I do definitely know that, yeah, if the Kings made just a normal amount of free throws and didn't shoot like they had no idea how to shoot free throws, they probably are more comfortable than they are right now. They're at least in the 7-8.
916-339-1140. Let's get to George, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, George? What you got for us?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, I've been listening to you. You guys are right on, and I appreciate your honesty. But let's not forget that the Kings had problems even when Malik and Herter were healthy. Mm-hmm. And we've lost against the worst teams in the NBA. So, and I'm not trying to degrade Malik Monk or Herter for that matter, but still, we've lost. Now, I want to put in something here that is not going to be popular, but I know you're going to criticize me, but I think that Malik right now looks so extremely valuable because we, throughout the year, we had a bad shooting guard. He was not good this year at all. We're talking about Herter here. Mm-hmm. So what happened is the value for Monk have gone up tremendously. He wouldn't have been as valuable if we had a good shooting guard. So right now, the Kings have no choice but to overpay Malik Monk to keep him. And at this point, you can't even move Herter. Please talk to me.
Yeah, thanks for the call, George. Well, we've had a conversation, and look, Malik Monk is one of the front runners to win Sixth Man of the Year, so his value is what it is. But we did talk about, and we said the same thing about De'Aaron. When it comes to being a championship contender, do we think that De'Aaron Fox is a number one on a he's the Kings' number one, but is he a number one on a championship contending team? Is Malik Monk a starting guard on a championship contending team? I believe we spoke with Anthony Slater a while back, and he said, I think he could be KCP on the Nuggets. So to answer your question, I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. Would he be scoring like he is with the Kings? No, because they wouldn't need him to.
Right.
So I do think there's something to what George is saying, but I don't want that to take away from what Malik did this season.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Malik's value kind of stands on its own. I hear what you're saying, that it shines brighter because Kevin Herter isn't playing well. And so when Malik comes in, it's almost like a breath of fresh
He's
air.
Basically
of like,
a starter.
Exactly.
He was giving you starter scoring because you weren't getting it from Kevin Herter.
Exactly. So, you know, I hear what you're saying. But, I ultimately think that Malik kind of stands for himself. I actually, you know, you were talking about George's first point earlier, if you want to talk more on that, if you have anything more on that, of just the Kings have essentially, like you said, tricked off a lot of games with Malik even out
there. Yeah, exactly. I mean, those games where it was the Hornets and the Pistons and the Blazers, that wasn't, you know, there's no excuses for that.
Right.
There's no excuses for that.
And I have, I looked into it yesterday because me and Frankie were talking before the game of how many times the Kings had blown those games against the teams that we just have kind of let go. So I looked this up yesterday. Yesterday, the Kings were entering that game against Portland as 16.5-point favorites. The Kings had lost three games this season when favored by 10+. That was January 2nd against Charlotte. They were favored by 15. February 7th versus Detroit. They were favored by 13.5. And March 26th at Washington. They were favored by 11. And they lost all those games.
That Washington one, because of the timing,
yes,
that might have been the worst one. Because
yeah,
that was when things were getting tight.
March 26th.
And Malik played
yep
in that game.
He sure did.
That just is what it is.
All of those games.
From the 209, how quickly we expect great things from a team that only made a leap last season. This season has been frustrating at times, sure, but we haven't had more than 39 wins since 2004. A little bit of perspective, which is needed, but you still need, first of all, the season isn't over.
It's not.
And you still need to move forward. I feel like that feeling is going to go away in the summer. You have to make moves
probably
in the summer mm-hmm because you're just watching other teams who did stink as well,
yep,
and now they're getting better and are becoming better.
And
than
Memphis
you
is going to be good next
and
year, too.
I've been trying to warn y'all.
And San Antonio is on the up.
There's those are less teams that you could count on as yep as W's. Crosstalk when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Joined by Whitey Gleason of The Drive Guys.
Hello.
And yeah, Whitey, it's been, you know, one of those days where I think everybody just, this kind of is what it is. Either you win and you get a little bit of bragging rights against the Warriors, or you lose and it's somewhere you've been before. But if you do win, hey, you get an opportunity against the Lakers if they lose, or to finally avenge the House of Horrors against the Pelicans. But
oof,
yeah, I would say people don't feel too confident. There might be some bravado out there, but I don't know how confident everybody's feeling.
This isn't probably the correct way to look at it, but honestly, I'm still having a hard time with Friday. I'm still getting over Friday. Mm-hmm. That was a debacle.
Yeah.
You know, the way they
yeah
ended that game.
The turnover.
And I know it's like, well, what are you going to do? And you move on and you got to play the game. I understand that. But just that was unbelievable. The
yeah,
four-point lead in the ball with a minute to go.
Well, I had text
like,
Chris.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and we didn't have the show, obviously, because
right
that was Friday. But that Sabonis play,
yeah,
I mean, it kind of got glossed over because now we roll right into the play-in. But
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Whitey, what did you think of them? Like, they were very, very vocal after the game. De'Aaron and Mike Brown, like, that was a foul. That was a foul. Nothing else matters because that was a foul. I didn't like it. I mean,
I'm sure if he really did get fouled, you know, I understand the frustration. That's the thing. I understand the frustration.
Yeah.
But then it just looks like excuse making
mm-hmm
when they gave that game away.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, I'm still having a hard time with that.
Yeah. No, and fans are going to fan however they
yeah
please. But are you surprised by, I mean, and maybe we have a bad gauge of it, but it seems to me like not a lot of people have a lot of hope. I don't know what the right term is, but I don't know how many people believe in the Kings' chances of taking down Golden State. Are you surprised by that?
No, I give fans credit. You know, you have smart fans here, and obviously I think I heard somebody was mad at you guys today because you had said if they try to get into
a shootout,
then they have like a 1 in 10 chance, and someone got mad at that. So I appreciate both. Appreciate the optimism. But I think the fans here are, you know, they get it. They understand how difficult it is
mm-hmm
from the 9 hole, although historically I think half of the 9s have gotten in and half have been out. But this is a very daunting task, so I don't think anyone's like, well, I'm not watching,
right,
but I understand the pessimism.
I think it's just easier to be pessimistic because at this point you'd rather be surprised and get to make fun of your Warriors fan friends than go in with the bravado. There's nothing to be cocky about because
yeah
you don't have Malik Monk and
right
you don't have Kevin Huerter, so I don't see a lot of, yeah, you come into our house,
yeah,
this, that, and the other because
they sleeping on us.
No, yeah, but yeah, but no. And to be fair, Whitey, and somebody did mention this, Chris. We didn't say this earlier in the show, but somebody did mention, hey, they blew leads, but they did blow leads, the Kings, to some top seeds.
Sure.
Right? It's not like they did lose to a bunch of bums like they had been earlier in the season. They did lose to some good teams for whatever it's worth, but the way that the Kings have limped into the 9 seed, I can't really understand why anybody would be overly confident unless they're just going to get hot and not cool off. The problem is they've been cooling off from the 3-point line at the worst times.
Yeah, just this team, you know, if there's ever a team where you really don't know, no matter what you think, it's this team. But let me give you a glimmer of optimism here if you need it. As you guys said, you know, no Malik, that's going to be tough. Well, if you remember, January 25th, the Kings in Golden State, San Francisco, they won by 1 point. Malik only scored 4 points in that game. So how did they win? Do you remember? Do you remember who went off?
And that was the one without.
It was 134 to 133.
Right. That was without De'Aaron, right?
No, De'Aaron, he had 29, but he was not the leading scorer.
I see.
Harrison Monk Barnes? Was two for.
Barnes scored 39.
That was the revenge tour.
HB.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Need him. Need him to bring something on tomorrow. Oh my gosh.
But that's what that's what we were talking about as far as, hey, if the Kings beat the Warriors, how much better will it make you feel about this season? If HB does what he did against the Warriors last time to send the Warriors packing, who moved on from him all those years ago.
It's a new movie.
How much better would it make you feel about HB? I mean, probably not incredibly better from a big picture, but in a vacuum, thanks, HB.
Thank you.
He made 7 of 12 threes in that game.
Whitey, he was doing the dream shake on the baseline. He was making middies. I've never seen anything like it.
Uh-huh.
They've got no answer for him.
Makes me wonder how earlier this year somebody in this room right now told me that Juan Toscano-Anderson was better than Barnes.
Drive guys up next. Wow. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper with our guy Jay. We will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, thanks to Nate. Thanks to all the fans and callers and listeners. Until then, secure the bag, light the beam.